decided to purchase a struggling little critical access facility in southeast King County because they felt that there was a market there. They wanted to delve into the market. They bought that about 8.5 years ago. It was an old 1948 Army barracks type of little place with a terrible reputation. And when I had finished an assignment, I took a sabbatical to go back to school to do a special assignment for the governor of the state. When I had finished, they came back to me and said, Ed, would you like to come back full-time and work for Franciscans again? I was only doing part-time work for them. And I said, no, I really don't. I want to do other things that are more globally meaningful for me. And they said, well, we have an assignment for you. And I said, what was that? Well, we bought this little critical access hospital, and we'd like for you to go start a hospitalist program. So 7.5 years ago, I went out to this critical access hospital, which is now called St. Elizabeth Hospital. They told me that they wanted me to build a hospitalist program, restore confidence in the community, and if I did, that they would build me a brand new, state-of-the-art hospital. And so the CEO and the CMO, I held them to their word. My job was just to do what they wanted me to do, which is build a hospitalist program, fill the little hospital, restore confidence in the community. And 3.5 years later, a brand new hospital, a $35 million brand new hospital was indeed built. And that is where we currently are now. The good news is that now that hospital has been one of their finest performers as far as economically, as far as HCAHPS scores. It's been in the top 5 nationwide of the CHI health system for, I believe, 9 or 10 quarters in a row for HCAHPS scores, patient satisfaction surveys, safety, and they're very pleased with our outcomes. However, when CMS came out with their ruling in 11 or 12 about talking about the ACA, the Affordability Care Act, and how we needed to cut back on the all-cause readmission rates in our country in healthcare, and I read that ruling, I began to realize that in our community, in the rural critical access world, that our little facility had a large population of the elderly, and the elderly, as you know, have not only one acute problem, they have multiple chronic problems plus their acute problem. And they're typically the highest cohort of patients who get readmitted to the hospital. So I was very curious to find out, I had an inkling that if we continued what we were doing, that we would have a very high readmission rate. And all the gains that we had made financially and all the gains we had made from a satisfaction standpoint and our national standing would deteriorate if we didn't do something. And so I ran the numbers, and from the nursing home, which we had a nursing home in our community, which just happened to be across the street from the hospital, I could see that they were our largest cohort of readmissions. And it turns out, when I ran the numbers, that 35% of patients who were discharged from our hospital over to the nursing home, over a third of them were coming back to the hospital in less than 30 days. And when I saw that, I said, we have got to do something. We'll never survive this. So the facility leadership approached me and said, Ed, can we work something out for you to help us? I said, well, I'm glad to hear that you've come to me because I was going to come to you. And what I'd like to do is I would like to propose that we establish a process that we take care of the patients that we admit to your facility and that we manage them after admission, that we are available 24/7, 7 days a week for a fee, and that it will help your quality, your improvement standards. Patients' families should be pleased that someone's seeing patients and there's a physical presence of a physician or an advanced practice clinician there every day. It will help restore the confidence in the community. And hopefully, the upside for us is that we'll be able to control the readmission rate that was so high at 35%. So I went to my administration, which unfortunately was not only in our local community, but I had to go all the way to Denver to corporate. It took a year to convince them that it was a good idea. Why did they not get convinced? Because there was no precedent, no numbers, no data, or my theory that if we did it, that it would actually make a difference. So after all the lawyers crossed their T's and dotted their I's, we ultimately came up with a plan. I wrote a proposal and a services list of what we provide. We agreed on terms, and on January of 2014, we started our program. So I sat down with my team, and I said, guys, here's the deal. You know, I know the feelings here. You don't have to reiterate what your feelings are. I don't really want to hear it. My bottom line is that I'm proposing to you two things. One, the readmission rate that we have for this facility is unacceptable. And if we continue at this rate, all of us will be unemployed at this facility. We'll be going elsewhere and we'll shut this place down. Here's one reality. Number two reality is that you can readmit these people every 2 to 3 weeks because they send them over to the emergency room and the emergency room just calls up for us to admit them. Or think of this. What if we go across the street, spend an hour or two a day, decrease our readmission rates, see these people who are sick or in trouble or interface with families and nurses, avoid the readmissions, and that way we don't have to keep doing the same history and physical and going and seeing these people every 2 or 3 weeks in the hospital. What do you think of that? Oh, I like that idea, Ed. That's a pretty good idea. I said, okay, cool. So for those two reasons, they agreed to do a 12-month trial, and then we'd look at the data. And so the 12 months are up. I looked at the data in February of this year, and it's remarkable, to say the least. So today, our readmission rate at that facility is about 7%.
Rather than 35%.
Right, from that facility, because that's correct. And from the facility standpoint, I understand that all-cause readmission from the facility standpoint, I think his last report I saw in January was, I think, about 9.5%. So, is everybody happy? To say the least.
How do you look at post-acute care in the bigger picture and what its relationship is to this medical specialty called hospitalists?
Well, it is my sense that what I've demonstrated in a very small way is the example of where I believe all hospital systems are going. My sense when we started this whole thing was and is that our patients are getting older, they're getting sicker, they're more complicated. And when you have that kind of cohort of patients that we are all taking care of, there needs to be an area of management, not only in the post-acute care world of primary care medicine where we send patients back to their primary care physician, but one of the things that I've noticed in our community, not only our community, but in the greater picture of Seattle and all of the I-5 corridor, which involves many, many hospitals, and it's the same story among my colleagues in the other facilities, is that many of the patients who are the sickest and need the attention are unable to get into their primary care physician in a timely manner. And so post-acute care is truly where we're going to make the difference if we're going to keep people out of the hospital. My belief is that as the price of hospital medicine continues to escalate, that the surviving healthcare systems are those that will know how to manage post-acute care in every patient that they handle and do it in a way that is effective and efficient, because those who continue to rely on the acute care setting of hospitalization, my sense and my prediction is that their days are numbered, because it is not a financially sustainable model to keep people going in and out of the hospital. It has to be a model both, and I know that many programs are focusing on primary care and other little clinics, but I believe where the focus needs to be are in our sickest patients, our elderly, with complicated comorbidities which just absorb healthcare dollars. As we all know, that 80% of our healthcare dollars is in 20% of our population, which is our elderly, and they just suck it up. And so I think that having a healthcare system utilize a post-acute care management program that covers not only primary care but the extended rehab or SNF facilities, that's where the secret sauce is.
And do you see your group extending that logic one step further and making home visits?
Absolutely, 100% with no doubt. We are becoming extreme, more and more creative. This is just in the nidus of where we're headed.
So how soon do you think you'll be going to patients' homes?
Well, actually, we recently just talked about that. Okay. Within, we talked about it here just a quarter ago, within in one of our collaborative care meetings, and that's something that, you know, just requires staffing, but that's already happening to some degree, not directly going to homes, but we do have a very aggressive and very supportive adult home nursing program.
So, in a sense, what we're saying is for these very ill patients with multiple comorbidities, they need medical management, and at least in your setting, a hospitalist group is a vehicle for providing that medical management in a timely way.